Hello, AfterBuzzers. Thank you for joining us for Suits Season 7, Episode 8. It is the 100th episode, and we are going to talk about all of it here, now, next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. See
the shoulders.
Come to the shoulders every time.
We got it. Not do shoulders.
I'm giving aggressive shoulders.
Nice.
Those are some aggressive shoulders.
Go
into 100th episode.
I like it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Suits After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-M, but I'm not alone. To my immediate left, he's been with us all summer.
I have. Yeah, I'm sorry for missing last week, but I'm back. You guys can find me at Hey John Blake.
Hey everybody, I haven't been here in a little bit, but I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
Nice. And you can keep the conversation going by talking to us on Twitter and in the live chat, depending on
Absolutely.
When you're listening to our voices. And 100 episodes, they paid off a lot in this episode,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is not the season finale.
Although it felt like it a little bit.
It felt like a season finale, but that's to be expected. It's 100 episodes, you gotta pay off some stuff,
exactly,
you gotta play
yeah.
some hits, you gotta really ramp people up, and I... As fans of this show, how we feeling?
Good. I mean, it was there's a lot of payoff. A lot of stuff went down. I mean, Frank got killed.
Spoilers, bro.
No. Whoa.
Yeah, totally. I mean, hopefully you've seen the episode at this point.
If not, there you go.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh wow. I haven't heard that in a while.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff went down. There's multiple affair things happening.
So many cool things. Like,
yeah,
so many
things really escalated.
Just things that make me want to just dive right in.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Then
there's lots to talk about.
Let's begin where they ended. Lewis and Sheila.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Happened.
I don't like it.
So, you don't like it? Like, you don't like the situation, or you don't like them as a thing?
No, I liked... Lewis and Sheila.
Okay.
Like, I thought they
back,
were...
like,
yeah,
back when they were
I thought
dating.
They were a good match. They balanced each other in their whatever they
Craziness,
do in the war
yeah.
room.
Yeah,
like,
whatever
they got going on. But I just have a problem, and it's a personal thing, with,
mm-hmm.
like...
With cheating.
Cheating
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Which is, you know, a good problem to have, I guess. I agree with you. I feel... I mean, they were both affairs. I don't think either of them were, like, a good idea... That being said, I think Lewis's situation was a little bit different than Donna's because she wasn't actually married yet. Again, I agree with you. It's still not good.
Yeah, there's
but,
an engagement there. That there's a dedication.
Right, but I mean, I totally agree with you, and it was definitely wrong. I think it's – Donna's was more wrong because, like, again, that pledge to someone. Like, they've Mark officially made that to his wife.
Can we –
You know what I mean? Like, again, I totally get fiance.
I need to weigh in that they should be equal. Infidelity is infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree.
I mean, I think I understand this show likes to present you a binary choice and then give you a gradation within it.
Right.
But I think within this binary choice, I feel like infidelity on both counts is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think you guys were watching.
Yeah.
You guys
no,
heard
I agree.
Me,
I
you guys
totally
heard me
agree
in the
with
middle
you.
Of the episode was like, well, one of them's going to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Lewis and or Donna are going to go through with it.
Just because of the setup.
Right.
It had to be one. It couldn't be none.
Totally. Yeah. No, I to be clear, I think both were wrong and bad because infidelity is no good at any time. That being said, I think the, like, being, like, breaking the bond. The bonds of matrimony and, like, the pledge that you made, like, officially makes it worse.
I agree. That's a worse version of infidelity.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of which are infidelity.
Yeah.
True, yes.
However, we'll start with Lewis. I don't necessarily think what Lewis did was necessarily 100% truly, oh my God, that's terrible. Like, I want to say this exists in from Lewis's standpoint, from his actions,
mm-hmm.
lives in a gray area. Because she's not married.
Right.
Yet. And it's pretty clear.
What it's going to be.
My foot feels in my mouth right now, but I'm going to stick with it.
No, I agree with you.
This is a well-written character.
Yeah.
I don't...
No, I mean, it was was going to be a one-time thing.
Is like, her husband his problem?
As a man or as a person, he should be. Because Lewis wouldn't want that to happen to him.
Mm.
And what... I forgot what her name is.
Sheila.
No.
Oh.
The one before with the baby.
Tara.
Yeah.
Yeah. That situation, he was all in for. And then, if I'm remembering correctly, Tara went and tried to work it out, right? So, why would you want to essentially step into something after something was just... Well, no, they broke up because...
Because he was overbearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind then.
Yeah.
I just think...
No, I think...
I just have a problem with it. Like, I don't understand why Sheila had to come back. I mean, I understand maybe age, maybe. And they were at two separate points in their lives where Sheila didn't want kids, Lewis wanted kids, and that's why they split up. And I understand that. But I don't understand, for the purpose of the storyline, why Sheila had to be in a relationship. Like, they could have brought her back, and she could have been single and available.
But I think they needed to put Lewis in.
Right.
Well, because if she was single and available, I think he would try to make it work. Like,
right.
Because if she comes back, she's admissions for Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, admissions. Yeah. And she's just available. Then Lewis would pursue her. And then her turning him down for whatever reason would be a different route, whereas this route, it's, oh, she's here to remind you all the good times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's not available. But wait, she's available for one night, but it's going to test everything you've ever known about morals and relationships.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay.
Me personally, if I were in Lewis's position,
I was about to ask you that. You wouldn't have?
What I would or wouldn't have done would be my business and my business alone.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Keeping it close to just probably the safest thing to do.
That would be how I'd handle it. That if it had happened, I would tell no one ever.
Right.
And if it didn't happen, on occasion, months later, I might bring it up casually. Like, yeah, she called me like a week before. She called me like a week. Yo, I'm that kind of fire. Of course, I didn't do it.
Right. I mean, I like how they kind of made the Donna situation and the Lewis thing, like, they were like very mirrored. Like, there's a lot of similarities to them. That being said, the situations were also very different. You know, Donna's was gonna be like the start of an affair.
Oh no,
Donna's
would have been
like literally like the, you know, like there it's. Much more of a let's begin this again from a place of an affair, which I think is like very unhealthy to start a relationship that way or revive one, even if it is.
No, that,
you know what I mean?
I think when Donna said it was kind of like a fool's errand.
Yeah.
Of like, well, call me when you divorce your wife and you're ready to talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I think part of her presumption would be, yeah, because if you divorced your wife, you're probably going to like deal with that for like 8 months. And really reevaluate yourself and your life and your bits. And then you'll call me because you'll be a healthy person. Her statement assumed he was a healthy person.
Right.
Making healthy choices. Which, calling someone, calling an ex because you're not happy in your marriage to come sleep with you. And I don't know, maybe I just want to see you. That's not healthy behavior.
It's not.
Yeah.
For your relationship, for your trust, for like... Donna's grasp of Mark's integrity has to be all over the place.
You know, she called him first, though, as well. So, like, she kind of...
But she didn't know he was married.
True. Very true.
I mean, Facebook, though.
Yeah. She's Donna. She should have been able to figure that out.
It's not safe to follow your ex on Facebook. Because you can see things that you don't... I mean, it would give her all the information that she needs, yes. But...
I mean, like, Harriet Spector doesn't have a Facebook...
Oh, that's true.
Like Donna don't have like six burner Facebooks.
Yeah.
And she's Donna.
I mean, that just says it all. She's Donna. She should have been able to figure that out. Especially if she
it was a heat of a moment. Like she saw that book of sonnets and decided to call him.
Right. But I mean, after the call, pre the lunch, you don't think she like Donna'd that morning?
Donna'd.
Done a little research.
There's an argument to be made that she wouldn't want to do that.
Fair enough. Oh, just to go in fresh?
Yeah, that she wouldn't want to ruin it. Like,
that's fair.
I could see a logical person going, man, I don't want to look at his Facebook. I want him to tell me.
Right.
I want him to look me in the face and, like, tell me how his life's been.
Totally. And again, I think the intentions mean a lot, too. Like, Donna and Mark, like, their intentions were, like, if they were going to do something, it would be, again, creating their relationship again. You know, on the other side with Lewis, his is very much like a one-time thing. They both know that. It was very clear, like, this is what it is. It's not we're not reviving anything. It's just, a hookup.
Correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but I'm noticing some talk in the chat that Sheila actually came to New York for Lewis. There's some suspicion.
Oh, whoa.
There's some suspicion that she's actually doesn't care for this guy she's about to marry, or maybe even made up.
Right.
Now I'm grasping at some straws, but even made up
that
the
whole thing.
Story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she just has a weird thing with Lewis.
Right. I mean,
a weird attraction to Lewis, or like a weird cat and mouse with Lewis. But we also have to remember Lewis left her because she didn't want children.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, a pretty huge difference that, like, you know, they want different things. Like, they, with their whole life, like, there's, I don't think because of how things went down when they did break up, that either one of them is going to bend what they want to kind of to make it work again.
Now
if
going
that is
off
what
of
she's doing.
That, now I'm wondering, did she not send those applications intentionally?
Ooh, to get him to come over?
Because she knew he would storm through that door.
Yeah.
Whoa.
See, that makes sense. They just opened up a whole another door.
And to be fair, that would make it very much on the level of Donna and Mark's situation of, oh, she's playing you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's literally playing you. Because now, I lied. No husband. No fiance.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of, wouldn't that be weird? And we're spinning off the rails a little. And by we, I mean me. Wouldn't it be weird if she's doing a certain level of domination on Lewis that she's literally controlling the reality?
Mm.
That it's like, I didn't send you that. I became this position at Columbia so I could be close to you. I didn't send you applicants because I knew you would storm through. Once you storm through, I would then call you and let you know. Or once you storm through, I would tell you that I'm engaged to be married. After you storm through, I'm going to call you and say, meet me here and do this. And we're going to have an incredible sexual session.
It's the most elaborate courtship ever.
Oh, no.
Specific.
But then at the end, tell him, by the way, there's no fiance. I did this all to be close to you because I want to curate our life just so we can have 12 to 36 hours of bliss every 3 months or once a week or however we want to decide it. But if I call, you come running and you have to believe everything I'm saying, but I'm lying. Let me know in the comments if I've spun too far.
That is.
That's quite a bit of spinning. yeah, I mean, I would be very surprised. Not that it's impossible, because she's a crazy person as a character. It's just like, that's conceivable that she could do that. But that is like so much work. Like, literally, like,
people do a lot for love.
True, but she's been there for like 8 months.
Yeah,
it's quite a plan.
This is a lot, I know. Still not implausible.
That's where I kind of differ from you, Steve, a little bit, is I don't think she necessarily took the job at Columbia for Lewis.
Fair enough.
But I think
now that she's
possibly she was like, oh, well, I know that he handles the incoming associates, let me try to manipulate the situation that way. So I'm kind of with you, but then kind of not.
I also think the Sheila character playing into Lewis, who up until this episode where she dealt him a blow, had actually had a lot of breakthroughs personally, that he's kind of to a point that like her blow can kind of bring him back down.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I don't know, I could... It would be a waste if he just walked away and was like, it happened. everything's great.
No, I don't think that. You think he's going to do that?
I don't know.
I
think he'd lament about it for a while.
Yeah.
Like, if everything's exactly as Sheila says it, he'd lament about it for a really long time of, like, man, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was someone's fiancé. Like, they're going to have a wedding. And, like, he needs to know, what should I do? Harvey, Mike, Gretchen, tell me.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very complicated.
Or they avoid it altogether, and they act. And next week we're.
Yeah, I mean, I.
Next week we're 2 weeks later, and it's not even discussed.
I think so. I mean, I think because, you know, Lewis has, as always, kind of in very unhealthy emotional states. I actually feel like they won't deal with it again, and just kind of have it be like. You know, it was the 100th episode. Something crazy had to happen.
Well, let's be very clear. The walls and carpet, when they did that shot with both Donna and Lewis walking to a hotel room, were the exact same. Like, it was shot it was shot in the same hotel / hallway. That I made a really crazy prediction. Like,
that they'd like run into each other.
Well, in the first season, I started this show here, which was that they were eventually going to get together and. It almost happened, guys. It almost got real weird.
I don't think what could be interesting.
I mean,
and this is getting a little prediction-y for me.
Okay.
But if next week Lewis has a change of heart, and as he's leaving, like he runs into Donna, and I don't know, they end up going out to dinner or something, like to that help them eat, to help each other. But
that would be very friendly. I was thinking if you wanted to talk, like, bomb-dropped intrigue for next week, he opens the door and Donna's already in there. And she says, I thought you'd never come. And then he closes the door behind.
That's fan fiction stuff.
I know. Just hear me out.
Okay.
Everyone would watch next week. I'm not saying it would do right by the show characters.
Yeah.
I am saying people would watch, like, people would
be
watch.
Pretty juicy stuff.
It would be... scandalous.
Yes. To say the least.
I feel like they would leave that for, like, the finale, though.
Well, we talk a lot how Donna and Harvey should be the finale, but we're digressing.
Okay.
Let's get into the main case.
Yeah.
The case that's been building pretty much for 8 weeks that concluded here. So, the best way to explain it, because there's a lot going on, let's start with the Harvey and Mike... hatching a plan with Robert Zane for where Robert Zane takes over the case because none of those people are his clients, essentially pitting Robert Zane against Harvey. Robert Zane is obviously not for-profit prisons or just crappy prisons in general. So Robert Zane has a vendetta about it that it's like, I don't care who goes down. I want to take down, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very personal for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're either paying $1 billion settlement. Probably not a billion. They're probably paying, like, hundreds of million dollars settlement. Or they're going to court, and they're going to publicly lose.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, publicly be tried. And the public will know... The public will know how bad these prisons are run.
Yeah.
In the first half of this episode, we were supposed to not side with Robert Zane, and I completely sided with Robert Zane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to a point where, like, the only reason I didn't want Alex to go down was that I knew the firm would go down. The firm would go down with Alex, hiring Alex after Mike Roth. Like, part of me thinks that firm must be Teflon at this point, but they've done a very good job of letting us know, like, no, this firm is very fragile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This firm is very fragile. It should not have bounced back from Mike Ross and then losing Jessica, but it has. Therefore, it is very fragile in something like Alex going down for covering up a murder.
Yeah.
Right.
That's enough.
And it was kind of one of the biggest, for Harvey's new role as managing partner, it was kind of like his main move that he made, bringing Alex in. So if that went south, then I think... his reputation would really be judged in a very poor light.
Yeah.
I was definitely on the side of Robert, just because I could feel the passion or the determination that he had. And it was interesting because both times Robert walked into that office after Harvey, I was like, was he standing out? Like, did he have a stand? Like, how did he know the exact time that Harvey was there? The second time, I think, they did work it out where right. he came in, like, yeah. 5 minutes or whatever later. But that first time, I was like, what are the odds that he ended up
yeah, I think the same I think time? Both times they, or he knew.
There's a lot of casual like timing yeah. in suits, though. That you just kind of have to
there happens. Is, but that was a little too, well, yeah. I guess not. I guess if you look at it like they were working together, then it would make sense. Mm-hmm. He was just standing outside waiting for Harvey to say the word, like, deal or something. And yeah, then he's exactly. like, all right, here I come. But
No, it was a settlement meeting. That first time in the boardroom, that was a settlement meeting, so they were both
they were both
arriving at just about the same time and place that they were. That one, I mean, his timing was perfect, but mm-hmm. that happens. Right. Also, I want to point out that I think Wendell Pierce is the actor who plays Robert mm-hmm. Zane is very active social, like very active at, like as for social justice.
Yes,
like his reading of those lines read really, really true for me. Mm-hmm.
When he like, was talking to Harvey at his
he was
house
talking to Harvey right? about yeah. he was talking right, to Harvey right, right, right. about how bad yeah. prisons are in America, like that the reason it rang so true to us is because that's probably how he really feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is cool. I mean, it yeah. was a very like heartfelt thing, you know, that was so important to him. Like from when he grew up, like as a kid. Like that's something like basically like Mike, you know, how hardly he fights for all these pro bono cases and takes things very personal, like
yeah.
So did Robert.
Yeah. The kind of people who become lawyers just for the money, granted, wind up at the top of corporate law.
Right.
And then don't care about anything, whereas, like, Robert Zane seems to care about stuff, mm-hmm. Mike seems to care about stuff. Harvey has a pretty... We found Harvey's line throughout 100 episodes, and it's pretty much here. Murder.
Yeah. yeah.
Murder.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good place
conspiracy.
To draw the line.
Conspiracy. Yeah. Murder. I'm not gonna go beat by beat for this case, but we're talking about Robert Zane. Let's talk about Rachel and the photos.
Yes.
Oh man.
I'm gonna go off on a little bit, not Bring a tangent, it. But when she kept talking about wanting to be included, this might sound a little weird, but I have flashbacks to Boy Meets World when there was a prank war between the old and the new, basically, and Topanga wanted to be on the side of the old so much. And then it ended up kind of backfiring on her. It didn't backfire on Rachel necessarily. She the intended effect was accomplished. But I don't understand why she needed to be included so bad. Like, I don't understand why she couldn't just let Mike and Harvey do what they were doing. Why'd she need to know that Gala was the witness? Like, I didn't get that.
Well, I think she just feels like she's being... She's like being put at risk sometimes and not knowing all the facts.
Yeah.
You know,
but
because
put at risk for what?
Well, she's about to marry Mike and she's not, you know, privy to all of the stuff that's going on. Like Mike is doing things that are really dangerous, like talking to a murderer. You know, opening this case back up. Like,
well, a murderer who knows pretty much where they live and has threatened his life. I will argue Rachel's motivations in that scene. The scene where she was like, why didn't you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, his answer should have been, like, I just got home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. The back... Like, when were you going to tell me? I've been here 90 seconds.
Right.
I had no...
Yeah, I know. I mean, to a certain...
And you figured it out, so I don't... I assumed you'd figure it out. I think we're good. The stakes felt weird in that part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he should have...
It's almost manufactured tension.
Yeah, I think that's what it feels like. It feels like she's just upset out of nowhere. Like, if she had come into it a little more calm, maybe I would have believed it a bit more, but she instantly pours wine and is...
Well, yeah, I mean, for this episode, but, you know, this entire season, I think she's been trying to say the same thing of, you know, bring me in. Like, stop, like, hiding information and... You know, like, you're doing this to, quote-unquote, protect me, but I think she's saying that she would rather know everything and then be able to help. Like, she should be trusted with the truth. And, again, if they're going to have a marriage that works, like, they should be talking about everything. I do agree that it kind of –
professionally,
it was like a detail.
Yeah, that's what that was the question I was going to ask. Is she asking to be included as a wife or a fiancé, or is she asking to be included as a lawyer? Because if she's asking to be included as a lawyer, you're not telling an associate or a senior on the fourth
floor.
No,
I think it's as a wife.
That's where it gets tricky, and I think they need to have a long discussion about professional versus personal boundaries that they've yet to have. And, like, they talk a lot in hyperbole about how they're ride or die and there are no secrets, whereas I don't think it's unreasonable for Mike to say, I have the right to have secrets from you professionally. As it pertains to, if you weren't my wife, but you were just my coworker, would a senior associate, I'm pretty sure she's a senior associate by now, would a senior associate at my firm be privy to this information? If the answer is no, then no. Then no, I don't need to tell you. Where it gets muddy is, if my wife were a doctor, would my doctor, non-lawyer wife be privy to this information? And I think that's where it gets really muddied, but right. They're not having that conversation. They just keep winding up in this loop of, well, you didn't tell me. I'm sorry, I'll tell you next time. It's next time. You didn't tell me. Where it's like they need to really discuss their professional and personal boundaries. And I think that tension wouldn't feel manufactured, but then you're talking about talking.
And then I'm guessing because it's Gallo, there's another layer to it.
There is a layer of, as your wife, I should be privy to all information as it pertains to your prison villain friend. Yeah.
That has pictures of me.
Yeah, your prison villain friend who has pictures of me. Although, someone brought it up in the chat. I believe Josh Shelton brought it up in the chat. That those pictures had to be admitted to evidence, which meant Robert Zane had to see them. Awkward.
Ugh. Yeah.
This is awkward.
Well, and then you understand why he got so upset in the bathroom, period, but then having to have that as evidence, like, that's terrible.
It's clearly something only Rachel could do. Like, it's clearly a decision only Rachel could make.
Right.
Like, Mike or Harvey, like, knew about the photos and probably assumed, like, probably knew that, like, oh, well, if we were complete terrible people, we could do that. But they're not. I mean, as potential solutions, it crossed their minds and then immediately got struck down. It's like, oh, but then...
Yeah, she'd never be down for that. Mike, yeah, I think that it was a very voluntary only...
Yeah, that is her choice to make and her choice only.
Right.
And I like that she had, I guess, in her mind prepared herself for that conversation. Do you think she and Robert had that conversation? Or would have that conversation? Do you think
it would actually be
like a thing where he calls her and is like, come over to the house, I need to talk to you about something.
Mm.
And they sit down and they actually have that conversation.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think Rachel would be afraid of having that conversation.
No.
I think.
A couple things. I don't think she's tight enough with her dad that he knew the photos existed before this episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, probably not.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
That's not
he needed to be blindsided by. He needed to be blindsided by the photos, so there was no way he knew up. He knew, there's no way he knew until the court date. As far as we're aware, Frank Gallo doesn't necessarily know that the Robert Zane that was representing him or offering to represent him was the same Zane as the Rachel Zane he had essentially been blackmailing a year prior. So those photos couldn't have come up from him. So he was completely blindsided by these photos.
Oh, yeah. And
I don't know, why wouldn't they share that scene with us?
What scene?
The scene where Robert Zane confronts his daughter about not just the photos, because the photos are whatever, but the choice to use them literally against her own father. And like,
maybe it's coming.
That scene has to be. I don't know why we would lose that scene. Like, that feels like a scene we're definitely going to get, or at least as like there will be a part where he's upset with her.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually upset with her for that. And it's like there's a misdirect where it's like, I'm upset with you for this thing that was completely reasonable. Actually upset with you for that thing 3 episodes ago where you used those photos and blindsided me in open court.
It might be a good excuse to see Rachel's mom again. Like, she possibly. And Robert might have had, like, pillow talk. And it's like, can you believe what your daughter did?
Yeah. A bailiff got to see pictures.
Yeah.
Bailiff, a judge, a lawyer.
Just rattling it off, like, he'll turn over and then turn back. And another thing. Like,
a transcription?
Right. I mean,
transcriber? She don't even need to see that. I don't know why.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think there's really a lot to be gained from seeing that scene, because I think it's got a pretty predictable ending. Like, Rachel wins that argument. Like, there's nothing I mean, the whole thing was, like, she is a woman capable of, like, making her own decisions. She came up with that plan, and, you know, she chose to do it. Like, that's
really where
the conversation ends. I guess, like, if picking and choosing, the scene we did get to see, like, the almost fight that broke out in the bathroom, I thought was, you know, a lot more interesting because...
That one came close to not ringing true for me because part of me was like, no, Robert Zane would actually, like...
There would actually
be a fist fight.
Yeah.
And, like, they talked about it and, like, didn't do it, obviously, because that's the easiest way to go. But, like, part of me was like, no, I think like, Robert Zane would come at Harvey and then Harvey would, like, swing for the... Like, swing for haymakers because Robert Zane would be...
Right, and he...
Like, a pretty dirty inside... A dirty inside clinch fighter, I would imagine Robert Zane.
Right. But, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I think Robert is, A, smart enough, and B, knows his daughter well enough that he gets – that she would do something like that. He knows that she loves Mike and, like, would do anything to support him or help him. And so I think it's very hard for him to hear that it was her decision, but I think that's sort of what – diffuse the situation is that he knew, you know, she the only way that this happened was that Rachel wanted it to.
But then you're saying in exchange for a Robert Rachel scene, we got the bathroom scene.
What about the
scene at the end of the episode with Mike and Robert?
Well, the apology scene
that
was
could
good
have been
too.
Like, why couldn't?
Yeah, no, that's a good
why
point.
Couldn't
yeah, I guess that
be Rachel. And not necessarily apologizing. I'm not saying that she should apologize because, you know, it's pictures of her that she sent, you know, if she wanted to use them, that's her right. But that could have been an interesting scene as well, just to see how it was handled.
Right.
Would Robert
like how
have
healthily,
been, like,
yeah.
Really
totally.
Upset or would he have been calm after the fact?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot of talk. There's actually a lot of talk in our chat right now over where Rachel stands as an associate, because she hasn't been a lawyer very long, but she had been a paralegal there for like close to 10 years. So I'm pretty sure in spite of being a first or maybe second year associate, because they're talking about how she was at one point running all of the associates. Mm-hmm. So she's higher than a bullpen associate. Just clarifying what's up in the chat that we're kind of curious where she is. I would imagine she's a senior associate with her own office. So yeah. Let's go with that.
That works.
I'm talking
good.
Through it.
Yeah.
We have a very active chat. I like it. A couple shout outs. Right Writer. I see what you did there, Right Writer. Just Sheldon, SE Queen Borja, SM Down H9, and Just Sheldon. Quick shout outs in the chat. Keep it active.
Thanks, guys.
Keep it fun.
Nice, yeah.
Frank Gallo is dead.
Frank Gallo is dead.
That
took
me by surprise. I'm not gonna lie. How did he survive all this time, and then now he's gone?
I think he only had to evade. It sounds like he only had to evade what he mentioned in the depositions, the five guys who came to kill him. I feel like he only ever had to evade that, and then he played ball forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, him giving a deposition and being willing to testify. Yeah, that's enough. That's enough to make, you know. That's enough for the same forces to come back at him, and he has no bargaining. Because when the five guys came for him initially, he had a bargaining chip, which was, okay, I'll play ball.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas now the five guys came for him, and they weren't asking for anything. It was like, no, you're going to testify.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came on pretty suddenly. Like, he just all of a sudden was murdered. So that was interesting.
That was definitely...
But, you know, I'm not terribly mad about it just because his storyline from where we were last season hating this dude who was about to kill Mike to like how we are like how it's been this season, you know, he's been pretty buddy buddy with Mike.
It's,
you know,
a definite,
I mean,
redemption,
like,
story.
So I don't know, I feel like we've gone full circle and back, and so like I don't know how much more Frank Gallo story that they could have strung along. I'm kind of happy that they like made a decision with it. Like,
this makes the most sense because you couldn't
close it off.
You couldn't let him out of prison.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, because yeah, I wouldn't want them or just to like forget everything.
Yeah, like I wouldn't want
like things went down. In the
suit,
past.
Yeah, like the Suits universe would be very interesting if.
If he got out.
And not right. in a good way. Like, yeah. it would be a very hurtful, weird place if Frank Gallo gets out of prison mm-hmm. and is just trying to turn his life around. He's just an ex-con who did some bad stuff and, like,
yeah.
atones, but, like, he murdered. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a murder part of a vast conspiracy right. where he was under duress. And, like, you could make a lot of arguments. He still, like, murdered and then didn't serve time for murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that guy can't. And then was the main antagonist for the last ten up yeah, the ten summer episodes last totally. Year.
Yeah, it's hard to root for a murderer.
I mean, it's actually easy to root for a murderer when he's still in prison. It would be really difficult to root for a murderer when he gets out of prison.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Wait, what? It'd just be like a pit bull not on a leash. Like it might be fine. He might yeah. be well trained, and everything will be fine. Like. But it's a pit bull. It's a pit bull not on a leash. Like, it might also maul people.
Yeah.
Potential threat.
Yeah.
At any time. I just feel like they built up this relationship with his daughter, and we got to see her when Mike gave her a check. Like, I feel like there was no real resolution there. Like, is she going to see the video of him confessing? I don't know why they... I mean, I guess they brought up his daughter for him to have some sort of... anchor to keep him, like, where he doesn't go and fly off the handle and he wants to, you know, do good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the good that he can do.
Right.
But the fact that it just ended with Mike handing her a check and walking away.
But what else could he do? Like, he can't show her the deposition.
I think he's figure out a way to bring her to see. I don't know. And maybe that's doing, too outlandish.
He's doing his best to make it as right as he possibly could.
Yeah.
The only way he could is just be a guy in a suit driven by a driver, roll up and give her a check for $500,000 and say, your dad was a good man.
Yeah.
By the way, he's dead. Because yeah. they probably didn't tell you. Yeah. They probably didn't tell you. You're probably estranged because he's in prison. It's a whole yeah. thing. You would have learned it through the grapevine. I'm just going to tell you right now. Your dad's dead. Your dad's dead. Here's a check. I think it still felt powerful. And I don't... Like, what else could he do?
I don't know.
Yeah, like...
It just didn't feel like anything had actually been accomplished. I mean, something had been accomplished with Gallo because he, you know, was on video telling what happened. So that was nice. That was his redemption. That was fine. But I just feel like they kept mentioning his daughter...
And yeah, you just and feel like the payoff was like too
yeah.
small.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I think they were trying to like be very careful about how much positive stuff we show about a guy that
yeah.
is a murderer and was the biggest season like the last season's antagonist. You know, it's very hard to I feel like they didn't want us to, like, be full
yeah.
on Team Gallo.
Actually, Sean Cunningham in the chat brought up that they essentially did this to humanize. They built up the daughter to humanize it.
Right.
They show that, like, even bad people are humans. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that, but I do think as a show it was a really strong choice to not leave him lingering.
Yeah.
To mm-hmm. not leave him lingering, like, he essentially would be a loose end if he were still mm-hmm. alive.
Yeah.
So that it was nice and neat that he's not here. He was humanized. Ultimately respected, and then, I mean, and a couple people in the chat are saying that scene was kind of underwhelming.
Which one?
The daughter scene.
Yeah.
But for me, like, it was all Mike could possibly do.
Yeah.
Other than creep on this man's daughter for the rest of her life and try to steer her in the right direction, but even then, he doesn't, like, Frank Gallo wants to do right by his daughter, but he also wants his daughter to remember that he wasn't just a one-note painted monster. Painted with one note. Yeah. He wasn't a monster you could just paint with one brush. Like, he was a human.
Yeah.
I guess that's all I think that's all any of us really want. Is to be remembered as a complex human and not just be remembered for our best or our worst.
Right. Well, no, I think, you know, this episode in particular showed that people, like, are very complicated. Like,
yeah.
again, and Donna even mentioned that, you know, on the rooftop with Lewis. Mm-hmm. Like, people... like, no one's perfect. And, like, mm-hmm. we have these expectations and stuff, and it's cool to see sort of across the spectrum, like, again, how there are, like, massive ebbs and flows for people of, you know, in good ways and bad. Like, yes, this dude was a murderer and, yeah. like, you know, wanted to kill Mike. But then he also wanted to help Mike.
Yeah. So he also wanted to help Mike and, like, try to take down a conspiracy that ultimately yeah. created him. Like, he's a human. Like, it's not as simple.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the over... I feel like that's always been the overarching theme of this show. So it's perfect for the 100th episode.
Yeah.
That, like, everyone kind of faces a similar idea that it's... on the surface, it feels binary where it's never. Mm. It's never that binary. It's never right. just black or white or just A or B. It's always...
That's a really good point. I think this show in general is saying that in so many ways because, like, it's like take Mike, for example. Like, he is the shining example of that. He wanted to help people and through his intelligence and being a lawyer, but he lied and pretended to be a lawyer to do that.
Mm.
So, like, you know, he is, in a nutshell, Exhibit A.
Yeah, that's true. We're very positive
yeah.
about all our characters.
Totally.
Let's talk about Paula.
Mm.
Let's talk about Paula and
Paula
Harvey.
Paula and Harvey.
Let's talk about Harvey giving Paula Donna's key. The
key, wow.
It
yeah.
was Donna's key. It was,
oh, yeah,
it was the key Donna gave him back.
Mm.
Same key.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, man. This is happening, guys.
Yeah.
No, that adds a whole... I didn't even think about
that. That was Donna's key. Like, ugh. This is gonna
no, Joe. I mean,
this is gonna go down in flames, guys.
Let's totally
it's
talk
end
about
so bad.
Okay, so what?
How did you feel about the Donna Paula scene? By the way,
I enjoyed the Donna Paula scene. It was the correct amount of awkward because mm-hmm. I think Paula definitely knew. Mm-hmm. Paula definitely
yeah,
knows that Donna
knows.
Still has feelings
yeah.
for Harvey, mm-hmm. and that Harvey and Donna have a very specific bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, like, we talk a lot about Batman and Robin in this show. Like, mm-hmm. I always felt the best relationship should be a Batman and Robin relationship, and that includes romantically. And I think Donna is already Harvey's Robin. We talk a lot about Mike, whereas, like, I think that's already Donna. So it's easy to just think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, of course, those two. Whereas, like, well, you know, it's complicated. So Paula knows this and mm-hmm. is just... There's a lot of things Paula has been putting her blinders on about this Harvey relationship. Donna not even being the main one. The main one being that she used to be his therapist.
Used to be? I thought she still was.
That would be wrong. He doesn't have a therapist.
Yeah.
He has a... Which, by the way, as a therapist, she should be telling him, if you needed a therapist...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should always have a therapist. Like, if you needed... we should all have therapists, realistically,
yeah.
but... If you absolutely needed a therapist, you...
Yeah, you don't just cut cold turkey.
Yeah, like, you don't just have a breakthrough and, like, cool, I don't have to come
yeah,
here.
Just, yeah, just, and all my problems are solved.
Brain fixed.
yeah.
Like, that's not how therapy works.
Yeah.
But no, he doesn't have a therapist at all. Paula was his therapist.
Yeah, I knew that, but...
So...
I don't know why I thought they were still...
Because she's, by virtue of being her girlfriend...
I thought the whole point of them explaining that they were after that time, that threshold of time, where they could date and it's okay. What was the
no,
point
no, you
of
can't,
them mentioning that?
No, because they stopped being... She stopped being his therapist, and then that amount of time elapsed. You can't be someone's therapist for a certain amount of time and then start dating them. That's...
Yeah.
That would... I think that would be the opposite of what it would be intended. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, 5 years. 5 years. By the way, while you're your most fragile, and vulnerable, you want to go out later? it's cool. It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years. State says it's cool.
How long it actually is.
No, if you're actively still their therapist, never.
Well, no, I mean, obviously.
Oh, but otherwise,
obviously,
I think
yeah.
they said 2 years.
Okay.
I think it said 2 years, so... By our timeline, that's a little off, but...
Yeah.
Because it would have been early on in the summer season 2 summers ago,
mm-hmm.
which would have been when they started, but we'll give them 6 months.
I just don't care for their relationship
in
general.
I actually really like their relationship. It's growing on me.
I like it, too. Yeah.
But I think we all have our shields up because we mm-hmm. know it's not going to – like, we know this will not last.
Very, cautiously optimistic about it, I guess. Because I like her character. You know, obviously she had a much bigger purpose when she was his therapist. But she's – I don't know. She's like a positive – person. And I think, like, having that amidst all this chaos and shady stuff that they do every day.
Yeah, as his therapist, cool. You know, she's great.
She's a wonderful therapist.
Yeah, but it's just something about, I don't know if it's chemistry, I don't know. But
I think it's a guard up thing.
That it just doesn't gel with me. And that's maybe something that I got going on. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm of the thought, and this 2-year rule doesn't apply to my thought, which is once your therapist, never your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's a fair.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair rule. Like, I understand. There's like exceptions,
mm-hmm.
but this doesn't feel like an exception. No. This just feels like I've been romanticizing you because I'm mentally a little like I've been romanticizing you. Which is common, but she should know better,
mm-hmm.
which is what's been said in the chat, where it's like, she should really know better. Actually, Sean Cunningham in the chat specifically said, now Steve, are you crazy? But before, specifically said that he hasn't needed to see a therapist since he started dating her, which means he's trying to have it both ways, yeah. whether they admit it or not. That's the unhealthy part that's never going to last.
Mm-hmm.
By dating a therapist, he's trying to also have a therapist and a girlfriend.
Right. But it would be fine if she was a therapist, not his therapist.
Yep.
Because you've already crossed that boundary of, I can sit in this chair and I can tell you anything. And you should be able to do that with your girlfriend too. Yes, I get it. But there's something, a line I think that's been crossed.
Yeah, I think 2 years is a really early statute, to be very honest.
Yeah.
But this going stuff. Back to that scene between Paula and Donna, I love the way that Sarah plays it, where it's in her face. Like you can see that she's trying to force this smile that says, I'm okay with this. But really behind her eyes, she's like, this is killing me.
And the Mark stuff had been killing her.
Yeah.
Because this was after the Mark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, this is the scene that made her think, maybe I should go see Mark in this hotel room.
Exactly, yeah. Life's too short. She decided, like, right after that moment. She was like, well.
Pretty much, because, like, she had a life's too short and Harvey's moved on moment. Mm-hmm. Kind of, or, like, Harvey will never be there for you moment.
I don't know if it's quite a life's too short, though. I feel like it's more kind of, and I'm lonely. And I kind of feel like that with Lewis, too.
Yeah.
It's like career-wise, I'm doing okay, but I want that companionship.
Yep. It also, it's something I've been struggling with recently where it's the opportunity's there, and then you're like, well, I should just take up on the opportunity mm-hmm. because it's an opportunity. And then, like, you're literally commodifying people at that point where it's like, I have so many reasons I don't want to go and have sex with this person. But I might not ever have a chance to have sex with this person again. And it's like, well, that person literally doesn't factor into any of that. And that's a problem.
Right.
You've commodified them. In Sheila's case, she's kind of commodified herself. But that's beyond the point. Someone has to be the bigger person.
And in one of those situations.
And it was Donna. It was Donna.
Yeah.
It was Donna, not Lewis or Sheila. Not that we're judging.
No.
Because if I were Lewis, I wouldn't tell anybody. Either way.
Yeah. And I think had Donna done it, I think I would, like, that would have hurt.
That would have hurt.
A lot.
That would have hurt a lot, because then she would have,
it's a very un-Donna.
She would, knowingly wreck a home is a very un-Donna thing to do.
Yeah.
Unknowingly wreck a home.
That's the difference.
Yeah. That happens.
That's the difference, because the fact that Mark was truthful, which credit to him, if he hadn't told Donna and they went ahead and did something, it wouldn't have necessarily taken all the guilt from her, but you would have understood it better. Like, if we found out later on.
Yeah, she didn't actively make a choice.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Just the fact that she even had the idea to go to that hotel room, just, I was like, this is not, there's something else. And I think it's what you're saying. It's those two things where it's like, Harvey's moved on and I don't have anyone.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anyone. And the one person I did have, I lost partially, I lost pretty much because of Harvey. That, like, it's complicated. That said, she made the right choice.
Oh, yeah.
Harvey and Paula is not going to let, like, we're all in it. We've been in agreement this whole time where it's just, it's, most people in the chat are saying not the summer. Like, it'll be done in the next 2 weeks, which feels right. It also feels like a prediction. Do we have anything else before we jump into it?
2 month anniversaries are not a thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I read the definition of an anniversary?
Thank you.
The date on which an event took place in a previous year.
Boom. Oh, wow.
In a so annual,
not even 6 months.
It's based on the word annual.
It's a month-iversary, maybe, but not an anniversary. That annoys me to no end. Like, okay, I can understand if you're in high school, not when you're
adults.
Yeah, over adults, 30. Yeah. Oh, it's our 3 month anniversary.
Yeah, it's very, very clingy.
But I do want to know what was in that box that Paula gave
her. Yeah, what she got him.
I think it was her key. Wouldn't that have been cute?
But after 2 months, though, like, that seems soon.
I don't know. Harvey's place is guaranteed to be way cooler than hers.
I'm also curious what's in the box.
Yeah.
Which is going to happen. Let's dive into predictions and talk about what we think is in the box.
That's...
All right.
So, predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Harvey and Paula, next week or the week after? When do they fall apart?
I do not think next week. I think maybe it's like a season finale type of thing.
It's 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Episode 10. I'm on team episode 10.
Yeah.
Episode 10?
So, yeah.
We're thinking episode 10. Right. What's in the box? Just a quick thought.
What is in the box?
I thought like cufflinks. I don't know.
Maybe. That'd be pretty cool.
I just don't. Why key after 2 months? I can't.
Maybe like an awesome tie clip.
Mm, you stole mine. Tie clip made just as much sense as cufflinks or like the size of the box. 2 months, like that's not a whole big deal. I got nothing. Or like a figurine that they'll tie back in later. I think we're gonna find out what was in the box. Does Paula find out that it was initially Donna's key? Like there's something in the keychain.
I think she does. I think maybe that's what happens.
I think because what blows them up has to be a Donna related. It has to be a Donna-related incident. Either it's like, oh, this was Donna's key. Like, maybe the keychain that looks like a pink luggage tag. Maybe she sees a bag that goes with the luggage tag. Or, like, she sees that on Donna and has to ask, like, oh, that looks like it's from the same designer as this keychain that's on my key that, oh, God, you had a key to his apartment, didn't you?
So mm-hmm. You think Paula's going to frequent the office now? Like, we're going to see her in the next couple episodes. We're going to see her in the office.
I think
more.
So, yeah. I buy that. Also, while we're on this subject, I think we'll eventually learn throughout a flashback in the next 2 weeks that Mark got the idea to give Donna the Shakespeare poems, the Shakespeare sonnet book from Harvey.
Because of the recommendation.
I think Harvey gave him that recommendation.
Whoa. Interesting.
So that the book that led her to pine for Mark didn't even really come from Mark. It came from Harvey. Which is probably going to blow up all her emotions into literally like, I don't care, Harvey. I have to tell you, you're it. You've always been it. We need to try to make this work. She's your therapist. This is terrible.
Yeah.
That's how I would write that scene. They closed everything else up. What are our predictions at large? Now that like it's kind of a blank slate for the next 2 weeks.
Curious like what they're going to do now because this whole case is that we've been following the entire season is resolved.
Yeah,
and they showed us a preview with Lewis with like a probably like 3 or 4 day beard talking to some associates. Like they're not going to take us down. Like something big is still happening, but it'll have to be over in 2 weeks.
Right? Could it be? That, like, maybe a wedding could happen.
Just a shotgun wedding.
Shotgun wedding.
Between who? Mike and Rachel?
Yeah.
I think they're still...
And we were talking about a lot with the next season.
Conversation needs to happen.
But
I think...
By the way, I made a very bold prediction that
I'm ready.
In the winter episodes, this coming February 17th, that's when Valentine's Day is.
What do you mean? Maybe. The day? The 14th?
Yes.
I think it's the 14th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know when Valentine's Day is.
I mean.
That falls on a Wednesday in 2018.
Okay.
And that would be when Suits is running. That'll be when the winter episodes of Suits are running. I believe they do a winter 8. They do a summer 10 and a winter 8, or roughly 10 or 6, like 6 or 8. So it'll definitely be running at that week in February during Valentine's Day. When they gave us a teaser where they said they were going to have a date, I thought they were going to announce the date to be Valentine's Day. So it would be Suits on Valentine's Day, there'd be a wedding. Although I think Rachel would leave him at the altar, because he left her at the altar. It's only fair. And the series isn't over.
Then I'm down for a shotgun if she's just going to leave him.
Yeah. That'd be less hurtful.
Yeah. Well, we just thought of this last minute anyway.
Because if the series is over, then they get married. The series isn't over. And there's also been many, many a rumor that she needs to not be on set all the time. Like that Meghan Markle needs to take time off to
be a princess.
Yeah, to literally be a princess. And like that's something that's been floated a while, that like it could be a shotgun wedding in episode 10 that she runs away from. Where does she
that's
go?
That's true. England.
That would be that on the nose.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to England.
She just starts working for Darby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're... Because we initially said that she would go to Chicago and work with Jessica, but now they're spinning off a whole show with Jessica, so that would mean she'd have to be on that show somehow, so that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
I do know that I think I saw the back of Jake Epstein's head, and being that I am a huge Degrassi fan, that was everything.
Mm.
So
you're not alone. That has been mentioned. Yeah. That has been mentioned on this after show before.
Throw that out there.
Jake Epstein is from Degrassi.
Yeah, he's Craig Manning. Like, it's a big deal. When I saw him on a couple when he first appeared, I was like, oh my god. So that was my little thing.
But yeah, do we have any other predictions before we kind of head out? I think this is a very weird prediction segment.
Yeah.
Because by episode 7 of a 10-episode arc, like, we should have a lot to talk about. But we're really, like, not maybe...
Like, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
Lewis doesn't shave while he's in this sex dungeon thing.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Like, because that's a...
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's too much.
He definitely had more than 5 o'clock shadow, for sure. It'll be interesting to see. Like, I would love to see just some classic Harvey and Mike and bring Alex back in the mix, like actually crushing cases together. Because we've had such a rift in the team until now.
And like, we've definitely had a rift in the case of the week structure too.
Yeah.
Although the show's done a good job of establishing that.
Mm-hmm.
For the last couple seasons, that they don't have a case of the week. Like, they rarely have a case of the week as much as they have, like, a case of the a case of the summer and a case of the winter. And then, like, clients of the week.
Yeah.
Players of the week. Like, I like how they do it, but I think they've given themselves room for next week. Like, if Lewis is if something's taking down the whole firm and Lewis is handling it, maybe Mike and Harvey could just have a bit of a layup case of the week of just, like, yeah, we can handle this We can handle this in 1 week. There'll be one wrench. We'll deal with it, and then,
yeah,
and then we learn something about ourselves, and like we kind of talk through the pro bono. My word, broke my word. Like, we kind of talk through that thing we never really talk through.
Speaking of that, I have a couple questions. One, going back to Alex, do you think he's going to be there through the end of the season?
I think so.
He's going to go back, maybe to his old.
I think so. I mean,
I think he's. I think he's ride or die. Like, he's ride or die at this point. He's in.
Yeah.
Like,
and he just got, like, completely clear. He stepped down. He retired.
Yeah, like.
So, I mean, yeah, I feel like the only way that Alex would leave is maybe to, like, start his own firm or something.
Well, I don't
know. Or go back.
Or go to the Jessica spinoff.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
That would be the only other place I could see him. Like, he would move to Chicago for some reason and then be part of the Jessica spinoff.
I like him at Pearson Inspector Lit.
I mean, I like him because I like Dulé Hill, but I just kind of don't understand why he was there. It was just a tie-in to the prison case.
And it was also to show to show Harvey's humanity, like to further humanize Harvey, and like that Harvey's not this perfect guy who's never made a bad deal. Like he, like that he left a friend in, like he made some wake and then he hurt a friend and he eventually had to write that friend. Would have been nice if we got any like inkling of it up until then, but they didn't know. So I still enjoy it. I think it's good. Like I don't see very many reasons for Alex to leave the show, other than the fact that Dulé Hill's like probably really expensive.
And he's busy. He's doing Ballers
like,
too.
He's doing Ballers. They're doing a psych movie. Yeah. Like he's probably on movie. Like he's probably on regular movies. Like Dulé Hill. Like
he's working.
Yeah. Like they'll probably, if he leaves the show, they'll find a way for him to just leave.
Or he could be like a Katrina and just pop in. Yeah, just pop in.
Totally.
Yeah, but then they'd have to grow the firm. But they pop in Jessica too, so it wouldn't be that impossible for him to be a guest star the weeks he's actually there.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
And then second question, real quick. You were speaking of pro bono. What is the clinic done? Like, is there a connection to the clinic, or is Mike still?
No, that was just the one case.
But oh, so the pro bono is what Mike picks up. It has nothing to do with the clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He uses he only ever pawned this case off to the clinic because he had to back off.
Right.
Okay. So the pro bonos are all...
just Mike.
Yeah, the pro bonos are all just Mike, and he uses the clinic when he can. He gave the clinic a bunch of money so the clinic can do more.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike's deal with Harvey was to, like, that 50% of his cases would be pro bonos.
Yeah. I was only asking because at the end of last season, or the beginning of this season, when Mike came back, I always, for some reason in my head, I was like, they should just... absorb the clinic as like their maybe philanthropic arm or something like that, and so we would still see Oliver, but it wouldn't be all the time.
Yeah, I think it's a back end philanthropic arm, but I think it's about right. I think this is a good place to leave us. 100 episodes, we did it. We're here at FFSTV. We're doing it. To my far left, Erica, when the people can find you on Twitter, where can they?
If you want to keep the conversation going, first, thank you guys so much for joining us in the chat. But I am on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby. That's MISSERIBABY.
That's very cool. You guys can follow me at Hey John Blake.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. I'm also doing The Sober Year. If you go to thesoberyear.com, it'll take you to the vlog where I'm on week 11 of not drinking. And I'm doing a vlog about that.
Nice.
I was invited to an open bar last night. Nice. I think that's all I'm going to talk about this week. Just the struggle is real. You're at an open bar and you're like, why am I even here? But thank you guys and good night.
Good night.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.